Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. Mark Levonier with you for this hour of drama. Later on, now Voyager from the motion picture is adapted on the Encore Theater. But right now it's Willis Cooper's Quiet Please series with an episode called Presto Changeo, I'm Sure, from August 16, 1948 on Mutual.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please for tonight is called Presto Changeo, I'm Sure.
Excuse me. You really must excuse me. It's an old joke I haven't thought of in years. A joke that Johnny Martins and I used to kill ourselves over, and to me, it's still funny. Probably you won't crack a smile even, but I must tell you, I really must. You say to me, Sarsfield, can you make an elephant disappear? And I say, sure, where's the elephant? That's all. But really... Well, I told you it wouldn't sound funny to you, but to me, it brings back memories. I wonder where poor Johnny Martins is. All those years, Johnny and I used to have fits. Just fits, laughing at our pun joke. That is, we did till I made an elephant disappear. Well, it takes longer to tell than that. We were standing there by the Illinois Central Freight Depot, and it was early in the morning, and the circus was unfolding. And Johnny and I were watching. We were about 16 years old, I guess. And when the elephants started to come down the gangplank from the big car they were in, Johnny grinned at me, and he said, Sarsfield, can you make an elephant disappear? And I said, sure, which elephant? And Johnny said, that one. And I pointed the thing at it, and I said, presto changeo, disappear. So, it disappeared. And that's what set me on the first rung of the ladder to success. Well, I admit I didn't know it was going to disappear. I was pretty surprised. But if you think I was surprised, you should have seen those circus people. Why, I never saw such a hullabaloo in all my life. They just looked everywhere for that elephant. I saw Eldred Vogelsang, the deputy sheriff, looking under the depot platform for it, even. And I never liked Eldred Vogelsang because he used to chase me for stealing marshmallows. So I pointed the thing at him and I said, presto changeo, disappear. But nothing happened. And Johnny said it didn't disappear. What didn't disappear, I asked him. And he said, the freight depot. Well, I said, I meant Eldred Vogelsang. And zip! Like that, Eldred Vogelsang was gone. Scared. You're darn right I was scared. So was Johnny. I didn't know what the thing was when the old man gave it to me. I was just standing in front of the Standard Theater down there on Capitol Street when this old fella came out. I know who he was. He was Professor Cagliostro, the world's famous magician, and he'd been in the show the night before. Gee, I was excited seeing him in person. I hoped he'd do something magic right there on the street. Free! And by goodness, he did. Well, he stopped and looked at me, and he said, hello, Sarsfield. Well, now, how in the dickens did he know my name? I know it's a funny name. My grandfather named me. He was out in California in the gold rush in 49, and he was a member of a militia company in the town called Sarsfield, and they were the Sarsfield Grenadiers, and they carried big battle axes instead of guns. So my grandpa named me Sarsfield Grenadier McCutcheon, after the Sarsfield Grenadiers. And here was this magician calling me by name and handing me this thing and laughing and walking away. This thing, this little stick with the five-pointed star on the end. That's the foundation of my fortune, as you might say. And I've had it since the 14th of May, 1916. How does it work? It's Very simple. You just point it and you say, presto changeo, disappear. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you disappear? I didn't mean to. Well, somebody disappeared. Oh, that's too bad. I can't do a thing about it. That's the trouble. I haven't found out yet how to make it work in reverse. I can turn things... Darn this mosquito. Presto changeo, mosquito. Be a dog. Oh, darn it. Presto changeo, dog. Disappear. You have to be careful with this thing. I remember what I did to Johnny Martin's with it. Well, we were having one of those kid quarrels. You know, nothing serious. Just arguing about the... whatever it was, I've forgotten. But I said to him, you poor fish. And then I pointed the thing at him and I said, presto changeo. And you know what? I had to run 6 blocks. Lickety-split down Court Street to throw him in the river in time. 6 blocks I had to run. I just made it. He swam away. I never did know what became of Johnny. Some snapping turtle ate him, I suppose, or something. The things kids will do. Oh, sure, all this stuff created quite a sensation, but nobody ever suspected me, and naturally I wasn't going to volunteer anything. Heck no, not me. Not when I can make elephants disappear. Elephants? I can make anything disappear. Anything, by golly. Even you, if you get smart with me. Because I'm not a kid any longer, see? I'm a grown-up man. I can do as I please. I'm the only guy in the world that can do just as I please, if me and the thing here. So what do you want done? No, you better not ask for it because you're liable to get it, and maybe you wouldn't like it when you got it. So just keep quiet and listen. Wait a minute. I think there's somebody at the door. Yes, there is. Sit still. I'll be right back. And if it's somebody I don't want to see, I'll make him disappear for you.
Hello, Sarsfield. You remember me?
No.
You ought to, Sarsfield.
Well, I don't. What do you want?
I want the thing back.
What thing?
The thing I gave you on May 14th, 1916.
Huh? Why, for goodness sakes, it's the professor.
Yes.
How are you, Professor?
Well, I'm a little tired, Sarsfield. Have you got the thing here?
Sure, I've got it. And I'm going to keep it.
Now, Sarsfield, I didn't give it to you to keep.
You didn't say that about it, Professor, on May 14th, 1916.
May I come in, please?
No.
Oh, please, Sarsfield.
You gave it to me, and I'm going to keep it.
What if I take it away from you? So you know the trick, then, eh?
Trick? What trick?
That I can't take it away from you. That it has to be given.
Well, thanks for telling me.
Oh, I wish you would give it to me. I need it.
No, thanks, Professor. But I got uses for it.
Well, will you give it to me when you are done with it? Then?
I'm not going to be done with it, Professor.
Well, if you ever are, may I have it back?
Sure. When I'm done with it.
Thank you very much, Southfield. So long.
Well, hey, where'd he go? Well, how do you like that? I didn't do a thing, and he disappeared just like... Gosh, he must be a real magician. Excuse me. Yes?
Yes, I am a real magician, Southfield.
Who is this?
Cagliostro, Southfield, the professor. And I'll have you know I was a practicing magician nearly 200 years ago, Southfield. I'll have you know that Marie Antoinette was my friend. And I nearly lost my head over that necklace of hers. And if you look up the record, you'll see that I died in Rome in San Leone prison in 1795.
You did? You say you died?
That's what people say, and that's the way it is in the history books, Southfield. But just between you and me, I didn't die.
You didn't?
No, so keep a civil tongue in your head and don't forget that you promised me this thing when you are finished with it. You hear?
Yes, sir. Gosh. Now, who for goodness sake is that? I'm not going to the door. It's probably that old magician again. Hello.
No, it isn't, Southfield. It's a customer.
Oh, well, thanks. How did he know? Excuse me. Excuse me. Yes, sir? Why, hello, Bernard.
Hello, Sarsfield.
Was there something?
Yeah. I got business with you.
Now, Bernard, that business has all been transacted.
No, it ain't, Sarsfield. Let me in.
Now, look here, Bernard. You're in.
Yeah. Now, kid.
What?
Go sit down.
Don't point that gun at me.
Why not? It's loaded.
It's liable to go off.
It might at that.
Now, Bernard.
Sit down. Here.
What's that?
That's money.
Oh?
Yeah. You remember our little deal?
Yes, I certainly do, Bernard.
This magic thing of yours was going to turn $1 bills into $100 bills.
Well, of course. I did it.
You sure did. And Larry Blockman's in jail.
Larry Blockman's in jail?
Yeah.
Why, what for goodness sakes?
For passing phony $100 bills, for goodness sakes. All this dough you fixed for me is counterfeit.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. I just came here to blow your head off, Sansfield. You and your magic.
Well, I can't help it. I did my best.
And it ain't good enough. So I'm going to knock you off.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, Sansfield.
Wait, Bernard.
Put that thing down.
Oh, no, I won't.
That phony magic gang, put it down.
You think it's phony, Bernard? Why, you big gorilla, presto changeo.
Help! Presto change will disappear.
Man, I made that just in time. Darn him, I thought I said disappear, but I turned him into a gorilla. My goodness, was he ferocious. Well, he disappeared anyway.
You nearly made a mistake, Southfield.
Huh? Where did you come from?
Oh, out there.
Where?
You wouldn't want to give me the magic wand now, Sarsfield, before you make a really serious mistake, would you?
No.
Well, you might be sorry. Making counterfeit money, turning the man into a gorilla. I wouldn't make any mistakes like that, Sarsfield.
You wouldn't, huh?
Oh, my, no. I very seldom make mistakes.
Well, here's one for you. Presto changeo, disappear. Presto changeo, disappear!
It won't work on me, Southfield.
Well, why?
I am a professional, Southfield. Look, abracadabra!
Gracious. Now where did he go? Well, now you see what I have to go through. It isn't all beer and griddles when you...
Skittles.
What? Who said that?
I did. Excuse me.
What did you say?
Skittles, Southfield. Beer and Skittles.
Oh, well, what are Skittles if you're such a magician?
Skittles is a game, something like ninepins, Southfield. I used to play it with King Louis XV of France. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Don't let me go on.
What was I saying? Oh, it isn't all beer and Skittles?
Skittles.
Skittles, when you get hold of a magic thing like this, you see, you make one false move and you're in a jam. How did I know that money would turn out counterfeit? And again, I might have been murdered by that gorilla. If I wasn't such a sharp character, I don't know what I'd do. What?
I nearly said a hen, Sarsfield.
I wish to goodness you'd go away, Professor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sarsfield. I'll go. I'll probably see you before long.
Oh, my gosh, this is my day for... Oh, I know who that is. Are you gone? Professor, are you gone? I know who it is because she rings the doorbell instead of knocking.
It's his girl. She's very pretty.
She sure is. Hey, you said you were gone.
Oh, I am sorry, Southfield, really. I'll really go this time. Honest Injun, Southfield. Really and truly.
Well, goodbye. Excuse me, please. Genevieve.
Well, you certainly kept me waiting long enough, Popsy.
Well, I'm sorry, Angel.
I bet you had another visitor.
Well, I...
A feminine visitor, Sarsfield?
Oh, my goodness, no. With a beard?
Look at all the money. Where'd you get the money, Sarsfield?
Why, a man gave it to me.
Come now, Sarsfield. Do you expect me to believe that?
Well, he did.
Oh, I wish a nice man would give poor little me some of the nice money. Poor little me has only got $1 bill. You've got $100 bill.
Oh, yes, I know, Genevieve, but
I... Nice man wouldn't miss a little teensy bit of the money now, would he?
Well, Genevieve, you see, I mean, you know, I...
Is it really yours, Sarsfield?
Well, in a way, dearest.
Oh, I wish I had some, too.
Well, you see, I... No, I can't let you have it.
My goodness, Sarsfield, I didn't think you were stingy.
Well, I'm not, but...
You're mean.
No, dear.
You stole it.
No, I didn't.
You murdered somebody for it.
Oh, gosh, no.
Then where did you get it?
Well, honey, it's...
Blood money.
It's magic.
Well, for heaven's sake.
Yes.
How is it magic?
Well, I did it with my magic wand.
Why, how nice.
But it...
Can you do magic, Sarsfield?
Well, sure, but...
Do some magic.
Well, I don't...
I bet you can. I bet you're kidding.
Oh, no. No, indeed, Genevieve.
Well, do something magic, then. Make some more money.
Excuse me, Sarsfield.
What?
I didn't say anything, honey.
Well, what is... Who is it?
Oh, me?
Your wife is coming, Sarsfield.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how did she
know... How did you know what, Sarsfield?
How did she know where I was, Professor?
I told her, Sarsfield.
Oh, my gosh. What'll I do now?
What's the matter, Angel Faye?
Oh, you got to get out of here.
Well, I like that. Well, I certainly appreciate that.
Now,
Why do I have to get out of here? Don't you love me?
Genevieve, meet my wife.
How do you do? Well, for Pete's sake!
Now, dear...
I really must go now. Nice to have met you. Oh, no!
Here's a magic wand.
Huh?
Help!
Oh, presto change, you'll disappear.
Well, where'd she go?
Wow.
Sir?
Oh, I did it just in time.
Oh, that's the magic thing.
Yes. Wow, I'm just in time again.
I want to see it.
Don't touch it, Genevieve.
Oh, now, Sarsfield. I won't hurt it.
Please, honey.
Is it really magic?
It really is, dear. Please let me have it.
I don't see any trigger or anything.
But there isn't any. Please put it down, Genevieve.
Well, then what makes it work?
Genevieve, please. Please.
You just pointed it at her like this.
Don't point it at me.
And you said,
Genevieve, don't.
You said,
He said, presto changeo, young lady.
What? Presto changeo?
Genevieve. Professor.
He said something else. Oh, I know.
Give me that.
I know. You said disappear. Why, my goodness. He certainly went away in a hurry.
My goodness, what happened to me? Oh, Genevieve. Oh, my gosh. Oh, where am I? Hey, where am I?
Hi, Southfield.
Who's that? I can't see.
It's me, Southfield. Professor Cagliostro.
Oh, good. Let me out of here, Professor, will you? I'm scared.
Well, you can't get out of here, Southfield. You're here to stay. Remember, the wand won't work in reverse. Too bad. But I told you you'd make a mistake.
Well, what is this place?
Why, that's just what it is, boy. This is the place where things go when they disappear.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time with the people here.
What people?
Why, don't you remember? An elephant, and a deputy sheriff, and a boy you turned into a fish, and a very, very angry gorilla.
Oh, no!
And your wife.
Oh, no!
And, oh, boy, Southfield, is she going to be tickled to see you. Well, you asked for it.
The title of tonight's Quiet Please story was Presto Changeo, I'm Sure. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper, and the man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And Edgar Staley was the professor. The distasteful Bernard was the immaculate and talented Mr. Ed Latimer. Charming Miss Peggy Stanley played Genevieve. And the masterful dog and the gorilla were by the one and only Brad Barker. As usual, music is by Albert Berman. Now for a word about Quiet Please next week, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
You didn't recognize anybody tonight, did you? Well, you shouldn't have. They're all natives of my typewriter, and they never did exist before. Next week's story is called 3,000 Words.
And so, until next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
Quiet, Please, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 16th of August, 1948 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Next, an adaptation of the 1942 motion picture, Now Voyager. Originally starring Betty Davis, Paul Hahnreid, and Claude Rains, we hear Maureen O'Sullivan, George Zucco, Kathy and Elliot Lewis, and more in a radio adaptation of this Oscar-winning motion picture on the Encore Theater. Next, from July 16th, 1946, from CBS.
Shenley Laboratories, producer of penicillin Shenley and Shenley Pharmaceuticals, presents the Encore Theater. The Encore Theater play tonight, Now Voyager. Our star is Maureen O'Sullivan. In his study in his great sanitarium at Cascades, New York, the world-renowned psychiatrist Dr. Henry Jackwitz sits, writing in his journal.
I met Charlotte Vale for the first time in her own home. Her sister Lisa had come to me and asked me if I would consider taking Charlotte's case. There were details about it that interested me, so I went to Boston. The moment I met Charlotte's mother, I began to understand a lot of things.
Charlotte was a late child, Dr. Jackwith. The child of my old age, I've always called her. I was well into my 40s when she was born. Her father passed on soon after. My ugly duckling. Of course, it's true that all late-in-life children are marked.
Well, often such children are not wanted. That can mark them.
I've kept her close by me, always. When she was young, foolish, I made decisions for her, and always the right decisions. You would think a child would wish to repay a mother's love and kindness.
Yes, Mother. Hello, Lisa.
Charlotte, darling. This is my very good friend, Dr. Jackwith. I wanted him to see you.
How do you do, Miss Bale?
Dr. Jackwith?
Lisa feels that your recent peculiarities, your fits of crying, your secretiveness, indicate that you're on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Is that what you're trying to achieve?
Why, no. No,
it isn't at all. Dr. Jackwith has a sanitarium in Vermont, I believe. Probably one of those places with a high wire fence and yowling inmates.
Well, now, I wouldn't want anyone to have that mistaken notion. Cascade is just a place in the country. People come there when they're tired. You go to the seashore, they come there.
The very word psychiatry, Dr. Jackwith. Doesn't that fill you with shame, Charlotte? My daughter, a member of our family.
There's nothing shameful in my work, or frightening, or anything else. It's very simple, really, what I try to do. People walk along a road, they come to a fork in the road. They're confused, they don't know which way to take. I just put up a signpost. Not that way, this way.
If you'll excuse me, I...
Miss Vale, wait. Don't run away. Look, I wonder if I might ask you a favor. Will you be nice enough to show me around the house? It's such a beautiful place, and one doesn't often get the chance to see these old Boston houses. I'd rather like to see what your room is like.
I'm not your patient yet, Doctor.
Oh, of course not. I've seen the rooms of a lot of people who aren't my patients. My friends. I'd hope that you and I... But of course, if you'd rather not.
It's on the floor above. When I was 17, I stayed out once until after midnight. That stair tread hasn't been fixed since. Here we are. She locks her door. Make a note of it, Doctor. That's significant, isn't it?
Well, it signifies it's your door. I've never heard it said that a woman's home is not her castle.
Here it is, Doctor. My castle.
Her castle. A set of mahogany furniture selected by her mother. Very obviously selected by her mother. A picture of the Colosseum by moonlight. An etching of pigeons in St. Mark's Square. A Gloucester sea scene. On one side of the room was a workbench complete with a set of tools for carving ivory. On the bench, there was some raw ivory, a half-finished figurine, and two exquisitely designed boxes. Did you do this?
Why shouldn't I?
Well, the point is, how you could. They're beautiful. I have a very real admiration for people who are clever with their hands.
You may have one of them if you like.
Oh, I would indeed. Well, that's very kind of you. I'm very fond of such things. You wouldn't happen to have a cigarette hidden away someplace, would you?
Do you think I hide cigarettes in my room, Doctor?
Oh, no, it isn't that. But I must have left mine in my car.
Oh, where do I hide them, Doctor? On the shelves behind the books? Cigarettes and medicated sherry and the books that my mother would never allow me to read? A whole secret life hidden up here behind a locked door? You're very perceiving, Doctor.
Your mother's quite a tyrant, isn't she?
My mother's kept everything she could out of my life. When I was 20, I fell in love. But the man wasn't good enough for a Vale of Boston. What man is suitable, Doctor? She never found one. What man would come along and look at me and say, I want you? I'm fat. My mother disapproves of the falderals of diet. Look at these shoes. My mother approves of sensible shoes. Look at the books on my shelves. My mother approves of good, solid books. I'm my mother's well-loved daughter. I'm her companion, her servant. My mother, my mother, my mother.
You'll never get another pair of eyes, as your mother would say, if you spoil them with tears.
Oh, Doctor Jackwith, can you help me? When we were talking downstairs, you talked about a fork in the road. Oh, there are so many other forks further along the road. So many.
Put away your book and wipe off your eyeglasses and come downstairs. I'm going to suggest to your mother that you come to Cascades for a few weeks. Weeks of sun and rest and diet for Charlotte Vale. Weeks while her tears retreated and her hands became more steady. As time passed with her sister Lisa's help, her appearance was changed. The sensible shoes disappeared for more attractive ones. Her hair was cut to hang loose on her shoulders, and her clothes were chosen to set off her new personality. Outwardly, she was a completely poised, lovely woman. But inwardly...
Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, Lisa. Dr. Jackwith.
Certainly is beautiful out here in the gardens.
Oh, yes, isn't it?
Dr. Jackwith tells me you're almost well.
She is.
He says I'm well enough to leave here now, that I've got to go home. Oh, Lisa, I dread it. I dread it horribly. It's awful, I suppose, not to want to go home and be with her, but...
Stop, look, and listen. New England conscience on the track.
Well, you may not have to go home.
Hmm?
May I tell her, Dr. Jackwith?
Oh, later, maybe. You'll see how she behaves. We have a scheme, your relative and I.
What is it?
You'll find it out in good time. This morning, Charlotte, during your office appointment with me, I referred to a quotation, remember?
You said it was from Walt Whitman, but you couldn't quote it.
Oh, that's right. Well, I've had it looked up and typed for you on a slip of paper. If old Walt didn't have you in mind when he wrote this, he had hundreds of others like you. He's put into words what I'd like to say to you now, and far better than I could ever express it. Here, read it.
Untold want, by life and land near granted, now, voyager, sail thou forth to seek and find.
She was nervous when she started on the cruise to South America, and she kept pretty much to herself. The first night, she didn't have the courage to go down to dinner, but on the second, she remembered that I had said, pull your own weight. Forget you're a hide-bound New Englander and unbend. Be interested in everything and everybody. Be nice to every human being who crosses your path.
This is your table, Miss Vale.
Thank you.
Miss Vale, may I present Mr. Durant?
How do you do?
I hope you don't mind sharing a table, but since you are both traveling alone...
No, not at all.
My name is Jeremiah DuVaux, Durant, if you'd like to hear it in its silly entirety. I was J.D. in college. My wife calls me J. DuVaux, and I'm Jerry to my friends. How about you? Who are you? What are you? Where do you come from?
Well, I'm not quite sure who I am. If clothes make the man, then at present I'm my sister Lisa. If it's the shoes, I'm her sister June, her daughter June. She picked mine. They wear the same size, you see. But if it's I who'm inside, I... Well, I appear on the passenger list as Charlotte Vale, Boston, Massachusetts.
I've heard of Boston, and the name Vale, like Bunker Hill, rings a familiar bell.
Oh.
Will you go dancing in the lounge with me after dinner, Miss Charlotte of Boston?
Oh, I'm afraid I'm not a very good dancer.
Well, neither am I, but I have a feeling about us. I have a feeling we're going to dance very well together. I have a wonderful feeling about you and me, Miss Charlotte.
It's wonderful up here on deck, isn't it? The air has a taste to it. Great intoxication, I'm afraid.
The ship will be in Rio all day tomorrow. Will you have lunch with me and help me do some shopping for my daughters?
Your daughters?
Yes. Here, I'll show you a picture.
Oh. Who is that knitting?
That's Isabel, my wife. The picture isn't very good of Isabel. She'd only looked up and smiled. Well, that's Beatrice by her, and that's Tina sitting with her legs crossed. We hope she won't have to wear glasses always. Tina wouldn't smile for me either.
Oh.
She's convinced she's an ugly duckling.
Does Tina know she wasn't wanted?
That's an odd remark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really shouldn't have said that.
Well, it's odd because it hits so close to the truth.
Hmm?
Even before she was born, her mother said... Oh, never mind that. By the way, I have something for you. I don't know the first thing about perfumery, but the clerk said this was all right. It's a mixture of several kinds of flowers. It's called Jolie Fleur.
Jerry.
It reminded me of you.
Oh, Jerry. Jerry. You know, this is the first... Oh, you're the first man. This is my first present from a man.
I'm glad I could give you your first present. I'm glad I could be the first man to give you one. I wish things were different. I wish I could be the last man and all the others in between.
I was right. The air is intoxicating.
It isn't the air, my darling. It's the moment. And it's you.
Jerry.
There were other friends of Jerry Durance's on the ship, a young couple who had been friends of his for years. On the morning the ship docked at Rio, Jerry and Mac were playing deck tennis. And Charlotte and Mac's wife, Deb, sat talking.
Oh, I haven't heard Jerry laugh like that in years. You're good for him, Charlotte. Oh, honestly, when I see what a woman like Isabel can do to a man like Jerry, it makes me boil. She doesn't love him or her children. She doesn't love anyone but herself.
Deb, please, do you mind? I don't want to hear any more about it.
Well, I think you should. Why, she even made Jerry give up his architecture because she wanted him to do something that would bring in money more quickly. And he could have been a fine architect.
Hey, what are you two getting so clubby about?
Oh, wait.
Just talking. Play with me, Mac. Bet I could bet you beat you two games out of three.
Oh, look. Jerry, we're getting into the harbor. Look, this is the one site in the world that's better than the picture postcards. You shouldn't miss this moment, Jerry. There's only one first sailing into Rio Harbor. See over there?
This is my getting off place.
Yes.
Your boat goes on in 3 days. Will I see you?
Not unless you pay more attention to your guide.
Thank you.
On your left over there.
Sugarloaf?
That's right. We'll take a cable car to the top. Up on that mountain, there's something to please your architect's heart.
Did Deb tell you I used to be an architect?
Look at it, Jerry. The Christus statue. You wouldn't think from here that there's a way to get to the top, but there is. We'll get there. They say that it's the closest that you can get to heaven.
In the study of his sanitarium at Cascades, the great psychiatrist Dr. Jacquith sits, writing in his journal.
Charlotte Vail was definitely on the mend. No more hysteria, no more grief. But she was up against a great problem now, and her future peace of mind depended completely on her response to the problem. The Voyager had sailed forth, had sought, had found. On the third day that the ship had remained in Rio, she and Jerry went for a ride high in the mountains above Rio. The driver missed a turn, and the car rolled over the mountain to a small plateau halfway down the mountain.
Ay, Mother in heaven, what have I done? I said go forward, the curses went backwards. Are you killed? Are you hurt? Dear Senora and Senora, are you dead?
Here, let me help you out. You sure you're not hurt?
Not a scratch.
Oh, Dios mio. Oh, the car. The formerly so beautiful car.
Oh, Manuel, don't cry. It's all right. It's all right.
I tell her to go forward. She's go backwards. Please, Senora, I will descend into the valley to get the cavallo e corda. Well, Senora and Senora, remain the car. Si, si. Cavallo e corda.
What did he say?
I hope he said he'll get a horse and a rope.
Oh, it's beginning to storm.
Well, there's some sort of a shelter over there.
Well, come on, we'll run for it.
You must have been a Boy Scout. That's a beautiful fire. You're very quiet. What are you thinking about?
I was pretending.
Hmm?
Or wishing, or you might even call it praying. I was thinking how wonderful it would be if you and I were the only two people in the world. We could stay here forever.
Well, when you get to be my age, you don't pretend anymore. You know there are no such things as fairy tales or happy endings.
We'll be friends, you and I, all our lives.
Do you really believe that?
Yes. At least I want to believe it. I want to believe that there's a chance for such happiness as this to be carried on somehow, somewhere.
There isn't. In a few days, this will be gone. Like footprints in the snow. Leaving no trace when the snow melts. Leaving nothing.
Except what we remember. All our lives, wherever you are, wherever I am, we are what our memories are. Whoever gave us this chance to be near each other will give us only one chance. Darling, why are you crying? Don't you know what I'm saying? Don't you realize I love you?
I know, and I can't believe it. I suppose these are really tears of gratitude. An old maid's gratitude for the crumbs offered.
Please don't talk like that.
No one ever called me darling before you did.
Darling.
Jerry.
Darling.
It never was any more than that. A few gay hours, a blinding moment of revelation. But the two people who lived it would never be the same again. They had the intelligence to recognize love. They had the strength to put it by. Charlotte Vail came back a vibrant, glowing, confident person, and one that seemed completely happy, if you didn't look too deeply in her eyes. She was very lonely for what she'd found and lost. She came to Cascades for a few weeks of rest before going home, and there she met Tina Durance, Jerry's child. I didn't know at that time she knew Durance, and it was completely accidental that Tina was in the next room to Charlotte. She heard Tina crying, and she opened the door and went in.
Why, hello.
Go away. I know who you are, and I don't like you.
You do? Well, who am I?
You're my new nurse.
Well, you're wrong. I'm your new neighbor. How long have you been at Cascade?
10 days. Nearly 11.
And you don't like it very much, do you?
No.
Well, neither did I at the end of 10 days. But the first 2 weeks are the worst. What's that you have there? Jigsaw puzzle?
Uh-huh.
Will you let me help you work it? Come in.
Miss Charlotte.
Oh, Tina, darling, what's the matter?
Can I sleep in here with you?
Why, of course you can. Oh, has something happened?
Something terrible.
Oh?
That awful Miss Warner said there would be a nurse here for me tomorrow night. Oh. Why must I have a nurse? Nobody my age has a nurse. I'll be so ashamed.
Now, Tina, listen to me. Listen, Tina. I'll talk to them tomorrow. I'll ask them to give you another trial without a nurse, hmm? I'm an old friend of Dr. Jackwith's, and I'll tell him, too. You leave it to me, will you?
You're good to me. Why are you so good to me?
Oh, lots of reasons. But one is enough. There was someone who was good to me once when I needed someone. Now go to sleep, Tina, and I'll tell you a story. Here, I'll turn the bed down. Now then, close your eyes, make your muscles go all limp, and I'll tell you a story. Well, that's better. Now, pretend you're a child, because this story may be too young for you. Once upon a time, there was a little girl, and she was a fairy. Dr. Jackwith, I have a proposition to make.
My nurse is telling me you're running Cascades now.
Oh.
You've had Tina hiking, dancing, playing tennis. I thought you came up here to have another nervous breakdown.
Well, I decided not to have it if it's all the same to you. I'm not doing anything with my time. Couldn't I take care of Tina instead of a nurse? I promise to ask you about everything.
I've already canceled the nurse.
Oh.
Just go ahead. Tell me what you'd do.
Oh, I'd just be with her, and I'd pay her attention and make her feel wanted and important. And then as soon as you let me, I'd take her to Boston for a holiday.
Why do you take such great personal interest in Tina?
Well, I know her father. He was on my cruise. I thought perhaps you knew. Although I don't see how you could know, except that you seem to know so many things.
No, I didn't know. If I had known, I certainly wouldn't have advised you to come to Cascades at present.
No?
I had no idea you'd ever met Durance. I don't know how emotionally involved you are with him, but I can't work in the dark when there's a child in the picture.
Well, I'll tell you everything. It's over. That's everything in two words, Doctor. It's over. Dr. Jackwith, Tina needs me, and I need her.
Well, I'm crazy. But if you promise to behave yourself...
Oh, I'll tell her.
But you're only on probation. Mm-hmm. Remember what it says in the Bible, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
How does it feel to be the Lord?
Oh, not so very wonderful since the free will bill was passed. Too little power.
Oh, I love you, Dr. Jackwith.
I love you, Charlotte Vale. Charlotte and Tina brought great good to one another and great happiness. Charlotte found the child she had missed, and Tina, the mother. I got permission from Durance for Tina to go to Boston with Charlotte, and many months later I took him down with me to visit them. I was a little nervous about that meeting, and more than a little apprehensive when Charlotte and Jerry went in the library and closed the door.
How do you like your daughter, Jerry?
She's lovely. But, Charlotte, I'm going to take her home.
Oh, no. No, you can't. Oh, Dr. Jackwith said it would be the worst thing in the world for Tina to go home now.
I don't care what he says. No self-respecting man could allow such self-sacrifice as yours to go on indefinitely.
It's the most conventional, pretentious, pious speech I've ever heard you make in your life, Jerry. I simply don't know you.
I can't go on forever taking from you and giving nothing, darling.
Oh, Jerry, don't you see? You will be giving. Don't you know that to take is to give sometimes? The most beautiful way in the world if two people love each other. Oh, besides, Jerry, you'll be giving me Tina. Every single day, I'll be taking, and you'll be giving.
I don't want my child to come along and take your whole life when you should be spending it with some man who'll make you happy.
Oh, so that's it, some man to make me happy. Here have I been living under the delusion that you and I were so in sympathy that you knew without being told what would make me happy. When Tina wanted to come home with me and stay... It was like a miracle happening. And I allowed myself to indulge in the fancy that both of us loving her and doing what was best for her together would make her seem actually like our child after a while. Oh, but I see that I've been just a big sentimental
fool.
Wait
a minute, Miss Pepper Potts.
Oh, let go of me.
Now I know. Now I know that it won't die what's between us. Do what we will, ignore it, neglect it, starve it. It's stronger than both of us together. Oh, Charlotte.
Let me go, Jerry. Jerry, Dr. Jackwith knows about us. When he let me take Tina, he said, you're on probation. You know what he means. He allowed me this visit of yours, but it's a test. If I can't stand such tests, I'll lose Tina in time, and we'll lose each other. Jerry, will you help me?
Shall we just have a cigarette on it?
Thank you.
May I come here sometimes?
Whenever you like. It's your home, too. People who love you live here.
And may I sometimes smoke a cigarette with you? And just sit here with you in understanding silence?
Of course. We can always light our cigarettes from the same flame. That is, if you'll help me keep what we have. If we both try hard to protect that little strip of territory that's been given to us. I can talk to you once in a while about your child.
Our child.
Jerry, thank you.
And will you be happy, Charlotte? Will it be enough?
I will be happy, Jerry. It must be enough.
And so the case was concluded, the patient dismissed. The voyager had reached his destination.
In a moment, we'll bring back our star, Maureen O'Sullivan. Ladies and gentlemen, Shenley Laboratories, maker of penicillin Shenley, would remind you that the American standard of health is higher than that of any country in the world. But, warning, danger ahead. That is the meaning of a recurring ache or pain, or chronic under-par feeling. It is of utmost importance to you to heed this warning and see your family physician immediately. Serious diseases may often be arrested when detected and treated in their incipient stage. Shenley Laboratories urges you, take advantage of the years your doctor has invested in gaining knowledge and experience that will benefit you. Consult your doctor regularly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Maureen O'Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, to sum up the spirit of the Shenley Laboratories program, this simple and beautiful prayer of the physician, written centuries ago by Maimonides, seems to me to be apt and fitting. The eternal providence has appointed me to watch over the life and death of all thy creatures. May I always see in the patient a fellow creature in pain. Grant me strength and opportunity always to extend the domain of my craft. This is the prayer of the physician. It is ages old, yet today it is as new as the hope for a peaceful way of life for all the world. May we invite you to listen again next week at the same time when Shenley Laboratories presents Dr. Ulrich's Magic Bullet, starring Charles Bickford. A great star in a great story. Good night.
Now Voyager was produced and directed by Bill Lawrence and was presented through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, who this year is celebrating the 20th anniversary of Sound Pictures. It was a Gene Holloway adaptation. We are most grateful to Maureen O'Sullivan, who stepped in at the last minute to replace Loretta Young, whose illness made it impossible for her to appear tonight. This is Frank Graham speaking for Shenley Laboratories, producer of Penicillin Shenley, and inviting you to listen next Tuesday at the same time when you'll hear Charles Bickford in Dr. Ehrlich's Magic Bullet. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Encore Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 16th, 1946 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.